All right, welcome to the June 5th, 2025 OC Parks Commission meeting. And to begin our meeting, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. Why don't I have Ms. Passau, please, lead us.
Oh, sure. Please join us in honoring our flag. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next, we'll have roll call.
Chair Sauver, Vice Chair Warren.
Here.
Commissioner Bowie. Commissioner Diaz.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen.
Here.
Commissioner Jones. Commissioner Gabbard.
Here.
Chair, Vice Chair, we have quorum.
Awesome, thank you. And moving on to public participation, at this time, members of the public may address the commission on items of public interest that are within the commission's jurisdiction, but are not contained in tonight's agenda. How many people do we have speaking?
We have 5 requests to speak.
Okay. With that, we have 3 minutes of speaking time today.
Okay. Jesse Brossa.
Hi. I brought some exhibits that I'd like to share. I know they went out, I think, from staff, and I printed some hard copies so we could refer to those, and they're literally hard. They went to, like, the cardstock drawer. So I guess my apologies. It's a little tough event. But I sent a letter and then some maps. And first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. We really appreciate it. Again, Jesse Brossa. I am a resident in Rancho Santa Margarita in the Robinson Ranch neighborhood. And we're surrounded by nature, and we love that. That's really why we chose our neighborhood. I've got my wife and my sons, my daughter, and maybe my whole son-in-law, and some friends, I think, from the neighborhood. So I wrote a letter. I'm not going to go through that. I don't know if any of the commissioners had time to take a look at that. But it's more of a bit of a backstory. We hike all the time. My wife hikes religiously, like every single day. She's on there. She's made lots of friends. We've made friends that way. Our kids were raised on the Bellevue Trail. I mean, literally, you know, taught them how to catch lizards. My daughter was trying to catch a lizard just right now. And so, you know, it's really woven into our DNA. And so, I'm a busy person like you all are, and I'm here because it's sort of need-driven, not that bored. And so, you know, on the trail recently, we've just had a number of trail closures of some of the subsidiary trails that come in. And, you know, I'm an avid reader, and so when I saw that kind of happening, you start to ask yourself, why? Why is this happening? And sort of at scale, why are these trails getting shut down? And a lot of new signage placed in, no trespassing, no trespassing, no trespassing, no trespassing. No trespassing, no trespassing. And so that starts to really get into your face in terms of an experience. If you went surfing and every 30 feet there was a buoy that said, no trespassing, it would start to offend you. It starts to sort of undo the experience that's inherent in nature. I'm almost in a minute here already. I really apologize. So, you know, the exhibits really show, you know, there are sort of, I called out 5 sort of areas. And those 5 areas, I just happened to have taken some photographs. I'm also, you know, an avid photographer, just about a month or so ago. So you can kind of see some of the before and after, and the afters are really ugly. They're gross trail closures. And I guess the ask is, I know we can't have much of a conversation here because this isn't on the agenda, but maybe to have an agenda item at the next meeting where we can have a conversation about these trail closures and maybe undoing them. And I know it's complicated and involved, and I talked to the park's supervising ranger, Ev Mina, today. And he gave you a little bit more context and information. I understand there's a conservation easement over it, and we're all kind of servants to those things. And so I just, frankly, would like to have our trails back because they're so meaningful to us. And I guess maybe we can start to have a conversation about that in a calm and orderly way. So I really appreciate the opportunity, and I know the buzzer's going off. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Next, we have John Sindelar.
Hi. I'm also a member, resident of Robinson Ranch. I've lived there for 37 years. And I've been on that trail since day one. My kids, every time they move, they're older now, 35, 38, and they even come to town, and we still walk those trails. and to see these closures kind of squish these trails into smaller areas that we like to walk on. And I'm a volunteer on the fire watch too, and I walk that trail too. So it's just something that seems to be pinching in on our free space. And I'd like to be more to see if you can open up some of that more trails, a little less trails. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie Brosa.
Hi, my name is Katie Brosa, and I'm going to mind that side of this. And my biggest gripe would be with Ranger Chuck. He is not a friend of the hikers. He's not a friend of the mountain bikers. He's harassed me and all my hiking friends on the trail. He was the one who cinched down the Brookseed gate that I had removed by our HOA that was not legal for him to do. He told me straight up with a smirk, this gate is not open to you anymore. He's been made it not just clear that we're not wanted there, but we're not welcome there, and we're unnecessary as hikers there. I fill my backpack full of trash almost every day that I take off the trail with me, water bottles, Mylar balloons. It's windy up there. I pick up garbage. I pick up other dogs, dog poop. We help maintain the trails. You know, for him to punish us is just outright wrong. I've known other rangers. I've given them waters from my backpack. Ranger Chuck is out of line. And he is just, he's a bully. And
Ranger,
he followed
Chuck, Ranger Chuck?
Chuck, Adam Chuck, Chuck badge 131. And he is, he's rude. He never gets out of his diesel truck. He does more damage with his diesel truck than any dog would ever do in 40 lifetimes. I'm sorry to do this. I know it's his job, but he harasses all my friends and me, and I would be doing myself a disservice if I did not mention that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
The same ranger for Casper Park?
I'm sorry, but we can't do interactions between
yes,
us, so we just want to be able to give you the chance to have the public comments. Sorry.
Dave Stefanidis.
Thank you, members, and also thank you for what you do. This is a tough job. You guys have beautiful, incredible natural resource with our parks, and for the most part, they're lovely. I'm here concerned also about access to the Robinson Range, and as well as Aliso and Wood Canyon. And my ask for you today is that we can agendize this and have a conversation about these access trails where homeowner associations are up against the protected space. That's issue one. And then the second issue is when you funnel people into just very few access points, that has all kinds of secondary impacts, parking, trash, noise. I live in Aliso Viejo off Canyon Vista, and we have become the de facto access point for every mountain biker, and most of whom are now e-bikers, in Aliso Wood Canyon. There are hundreds of ride people that drive in every weekend and park in our neighborhood, and that has consequences for us. I'm just curious if the county is reimbursing our HOA for the impacts that that's having on our neighborhood.
Thank you.
Martha Hatter.
I live in Robinson Ranch as well. My husband and I have lived there since 1996, and we love the trails. We also love O'Neill Park, and we hike over there a lot, and the rangers are wonderful. They are welcoming. They have helped us. They've directed us, redirected us, given us assistance, and we just always had a really great relationship with the rangers over there. I didn't know there were any in our area until all this stuff started happening. And it's disturbing to me because there's a really great camaraderie with everybody that hikes up there. A lot of helpfulness, a lot of neighborly, I guess, compassion for each other, for the hills, just the blood saddlebacks growing back. And I'm very uncomfortable with this, what's been going on. Our grandkids hike with us. We have six of them from 12 under. And, you know, I like to look for rattlesnakes. I don't like to look for a hostile person or to try to avoid having a negative encounter in front of the kids. So the whole thing just made me really uncomfortable. So I'm hoping that we can come to a really constructive solution. Thank you.
Thank you.
Those are all the public comments we've received.
Okay. Just to clarify, is it only speaking by card, or can people walk up?
You can ask that question right now to the public if there's anyone else who wishes to speak.
Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak at this time?
I'd like to.
Go.
Sorry, I didn't get here in time to initially.
It's okay. If you can come up and speak, and then afterwards, if you can fill out a card, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Eric Pond, and I've lived in Robinson Ranch now about 5 years. Previously to that, I lived in Rancho Santa Margarita for about 10 years, and have enjoyed the parks around that area that entire time. And recently, I've gotten in better shape and have been using the trails more and more. And it's been a great experience for me to be able to get up on the trails, not only just in the Orange County park system, but there's access into the Cleveland National Forest through the Orange County park system. And to have that those trails open for use to do that has been a great experience for me, and I'd like to see that continue. And just recently coming across places where it's been closed has been quite disturbing, wondering what's going on. And when I do hike up there, I usually take trash bags with me. I've filled them, especially after the fire, that exposed a lot of the trash that had been covered by the brush. And so I've filled trash bags. There was one time I had such big bags I couldn't carry them myself. Other hikers offered to help me bring the trash bags down. And so that was great to have that camaraderie among all of us who hike up there. And I've met lots of people on the trail and really enjoyed being able to meet other people up there. And everybody is very respectful of the environment and the trails. I've never seen anybody that's been doing anything that would be harmful to the trails or the surrounding environment up there. And so I think that, you know, closing down these select trails, which are actually very beautiful trails, or were until recently, has definitely been very troublesome to me. And I did come across this one location where the trail had been distributed with branches that had been broken off of trees and chopped up trees, and the ground had been chopped up so it was hard to get by, obviously, so that it would be blocked for people going up there. And as I said, I pick up trash when I see it, and I found some trash that whoever had done that had left behind, water bottles that they had had up there. And whatever their reason for doing this is, I don't know, but I wouldn't think that leaving trash behind would be something that they would want to do. And so I'd like to see these opened up again for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess on behalf of the younger generation, I'm 20, and I feel like a lot of our youth, they spend a lot of time in front of screens or at home, and I feel like it's so awesome to have a place where we can go hiking. I probably hike once or twice a day, guaranteed. And it's a place where I can really unwind and connect with nature, and it's a really positive experience, physically, mentally, emotionally, and so many of my friends go hiking every day, and it's a really awesome experience. But lately, going on the trails, I see all these trail blockages, and I'm so nervous about, you know, a ranger coming in. I've kind of been avoiding going on the trails, and it's kind of damaged the experience. And I really don't want that to be the case, because I want nature to be very welcoming. And most of the rangers that I enter, almost all, like, they make it an amazing experience, and they definitely add to that safety. They add to the whole protecting the nature, being one with nature, kind of combining it. And I feel like with this situation, I see blockages. I see a lot of broken trees, damaged branches, blocking everything, and damage on the trails. Like the truck, like Katie said, there's tire marks everywhere, and it kind of just makes the whole experience not what it should be. So I really think that we should consider that when discussing this topic. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any other members of the public who wish?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. How are you guys doing? My name is Grace. I'm Katie and Jesse's daughter. I'm an athlete. I've been an athlete for the past 16 years. Ever since I could walk, I've been running, swimming, playing water polo. I work as a lifeguard for the city of Laguna Beach, and I'm sure, as you guys know, that's a very physical job. So I train physically every single day. I run these trails, I grew up on these trails, and one time I had a medical emergency where I almost had a heat stroke. And one of the trails that I use now is blocked off. The trail that saved my life, that I cut through a neighbor's neighborhood to save my life, is now blocked off. If someone else were to have a similar experience like that, what would happen to them? What would happen if that person was experiencing something that I had experienced and wasn't able to leave the trail to go take a quicker way to go to their house, to go to a neighbor's house, to get water, food, shelter? What would happen? All of these trails are getting blocked off. So now, when it reaches 89 degrees, I have to consider, okay, am I gonna time my hike this way? What point am I gonna turn around? How hard am I going to train today? And these are all now things that I'm considering because a lot of our side trails are blocked off. Thank you guys very much for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Any other members of the public? Okay. Seeing none others, I'm going to close participation and move on to consent calendar. Now we move on to the consent calendar, and the following items on the consent item will be approved by one motion unless the commissioner requests to pull an item. Is there any item anyone wants to pull? If not, can I get a motion to approve the balance?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Let me see. All those in favor?
Aye.
I abstain.
Okay.
You don't need to, but you can.
I wasn't there.
Correct. You can still approve the minutes. Okay. Just a clarification. But it's okay to abstain as well.
Okay. Okay, that item passes, and move on to the discussion calendar, which is our Ranger Academy 10.
I believe that there's some new rangers somewhere. So today we have our operations support manager, Eric Gruber, here, and he's going to give us a short presentation.
I don't have the clicker to move the presentation along. I'll try to slow it for just a second.
Just tell him when to turn.
Okay. Good evening, Vice Chair Warren, members of the Commission. As Pam mentioned, I'm Eric Rivery. I'm the Operations Support Manager here at OC Parks. One of our duties at Operations Support is training our new Rangers and using our Ranger Academy program. So it all starts with the recruitment. Recruitment process is, as these fine ladies and gentlemen here will tell you, tends to be long. year to year and a half from application to getting their start date. They go through the same background check process that all law enforcement goes through in California. Very rigorous program and very process. Looking back at the last couple of recruitments, the 2024 recruitment, we had 929 applicants, and we ended up hiring 9 and graduated those 9 back in January 24. You met them right around that time, I believe, at one of your meetings. And then the current recruitment, which is the one that these folks here were hired out of, we had 786 applicants. We hired the 10 of them, and all 10 graduated on May 1st. A little bit of history on our academy program. We started our academies back in 2005. Ran the first few through either the Sheriff's Department or Santa Ana College, more as a police type academy. Realized that in 2016 we wanted to bring them in-house, so that was the beginning of our in-house academies. And then RE10 was graduated in 2025. We estimate our next academy will be sometime next year. The academy training, we do what we refer to as a moderate stress academy. So very academically stressful. We don't make them run 25 miles and do 1,000 push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and all that. They'll tell you that there's other stresses that we put them through. They do a lot of required training. They do first responder first aid training. They get pepper sprayed, which is always their funnest day in the academy. Emergency vehicle operations, and then a lot of other trainings that we do that are more park specific and less law enforcement. These couple of pictures here, the list on the left hand side, I won't go through all of them, but the top right picture is this class doing their off-road training. We take them out into the open space and let them drive on the dirt. And then the bottom right-hand picture is the class doing some trail maintenance work in coordination with Laguna Canyon Foundation. Doing a lot of fun work there. They're currently in their field training phase. They're in their last phase. So they're finishing up this next weekend, into the middle of next week. And once they finish that, they'll go into their first assigned facilities. So we try to send them 2 weeks at a regional park, 2 weeks at one of our wilderness or coastal facilities, and then 2 weeks at one of our camping facilities. We do a lot of recurring and advanced trainings. So each year they go through a wildland fire refresher training. Every 2 years they get recertified for first aid. The picture on the top right on this one is actually a GIS class that we're teaching in the academy with our GIS group that's actually right outside the doors here. And then that we also did a horse handling class because we do occasionally have horses that get loose in the park. So not too many folks in Southern California deal with horses on a regular basis. So we try to at least do a little bit of introduction. A little bit of specifics about RE10. They began on January 15th. We graduated them all on May 1st. Throughout that period, they had over 600 hours of training. They were in the academy 3 days a week and then in parks 2 days a week. So they were working 50-hour weeks, that whole 16-week time frame. We have 9 of the 10 here today. Henry Chantabong is not here today because he decided that it was more important to be with his wife while he's getting his first child. So she is extraordinarily pregnant and is due like any second. So for some reason he wanted to be with her. So what we're going to do now is we'll start with Tate Hermans. We'll ask each recruit to stand up, just say very briefly a little bit about yourself and why do you like
this here? Hello, everyone. My name is Tate. I'm Orange County Park Ranger. I'm from Colorado originally, so I grew up in the outdoors. So having the opportunity to work in the outdoors and help people has been a very big dream of mine. So I look forward to the opportunity to serve you all one day.
All right. Hello. My name is James Kim. The reason why I became a park ranger is because I want to somehow protect the environment while also balancing the people to try to make that middle ground and make sure everyone enjoys something while also protecting what we have. That's it.
Hi there, guys. I'm Maya Lindro. I love our open spaces. Just wanted to have a chance to get to serve and protect them, make them accessible to the public. That's why I became park ranger.
My name is Troy Shimoto. I love to camp and fish and just be outside, so this was a very easy translation to a job I wanted to do, and I just wanted to be able to get back. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Jared Rush. I have a passion for nature and public service, and this is a perfect job, so I'm ready to serve. Thank you.
I'm Jory Sandoval, a new park ranger, and I mainly was in the Forest Service back then, so I'm used to a lot of backcountry hiking. So now that I'm a park ranger, I want to give that knowledge about all the trees and everything we have about Orange County and our parks, just to give all the residents a good time. Thank you.
Hey all, I'm Justin Standard, new park ranger as well. You're noticing a common thread here. I love our parks, love the outdoors. Just wanted to protect them and share them with the public.
Hello, I'm Carl Jason. I got an ecology background and grew up in Orange County, so I just want to help conserve the beautiful nature here in Orange County.
Hi, I'm Nicole Zigman, and I have a background in education. My mom was an environmental science teacher that actually did not have a park on the tree. I was also an OC Parks volunteer, so for me this was very easy and next step progression in my life. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, recruits. Thank you, park rangers.
Actually, I have a question. First, well, it doesn't seem like you have a problem with recruiting, which is great, right? 900 something and 700 something recruitment applications, which is great. But I noticed your ticketing on the candidate is very small. It's less than 1%.
Yes.
Is it because is it because of the job opening? Why such a small pool?
What a great question.
We'd love it to be bigger.
But this is the elite.
Yeah,
it's what it is.
This is the elite.
Okay, I just want to know.
Correct. It is a very strenuous process.
Okay.
And
you guys are the Navy SEAL.
Correct.
That's what she's saying.
Yes.
Ranger Team 6.
A lot of people apply for jobs who are not qualified, for one.
Got it.
But two is that we ask a lot of them. And we do assessments and interviews and very intense background checks. They are all peace officers.
Got it.
And so to become a peace officer, you have to go through a very invasive background check, and all of them pass with flying colors. So it's a lot.
Great. So I'm familiar with Penal Code 822. PC 832. But I'm not familiar with Title 22. Can you share a little bit of that?
Yes. Title 22 is first responder, first aid. So it's a 3-day course that they go through. All of our peace officers go through it. And I kind of refer to it as CPR first aid on steroids.
Got it.
They go through recognizing heat exhaustion, heat stroke, how to recognize broken bones, how to stabilize injuries. It's very, very extensive. And then every 2 years, everyone who is Title 22 certified goes through a recertification, which is an 8-hour class of all of that condensed down.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, not only they're park rangers, so like they're mini first aid kit on the field.
Yep.
Yeah.
The stories they could tell in the future.
Yeah. What's already happened.
Well, congratulations to you all. You make us proud.
Thank you.
Good. I have a question for Troy.
Yes.
what did you do?
So I do a lot with details. I noticed each one of you have two pins in your top pocket. Not one of you have one, not one of you have three, you all have two. Why do you have two pins?
In case one of them
does not want to work. Always just for safety measures when we're taking reports or getting interviews from other people in public, just having one is always useful, but having that secondary is just that kind of safety and that backup.
Yeah, that's funny, because I carry two pins. in case one goes down. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So that's the base, just that's it, huh? Not to stab two people at one time or anything like that. So what would be one other thing on your uniform that you didn't know about when you first got involved that you carry now?
I would say one is our IDs, our wallets, our notebooks. We always keep in our right pocket here. So
you don't have ID like in my wallet, like I carry a wallet in my back pocket. Your ID's in your front.
Yeah. So whenever we
rest.
Go out for
pocket.
Just kind of simple IDs or kind of notepads we need for note taking.
And you're supposed to carry them in that pocket?
During academy class, yeah, we always have them on, and now it's become routine for us that whenever we ever interact with somebody else, it's just a quick accessible point where we can just kind of grab a take.
If they want to see your ID, boom, there it is.
There you go. Yep. It's one, so.
Okay. All right, thank you for it.
No worries.
That's a great question. So I want to follow up on the uniform. PC, part of the training PC 832 is firearm and the networking.
They're not. They don't go through that portion of PC 832.
Oh,
our park rangers are not armed.
Got it. Okay, I wasn't sure, so that's why I wanted to ask that question because 832 has that portion.
Yes, it has that portion as kind of the last section. They don't go through that section.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, and you're needed. We're still short rangers. Correct?
We are short by three.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
well, that's a good catch
this
up.
Is pretty darn,
that's a good catch
this
up.
This is pretty darn good.
Okay.
And we just finished our recruitment for the next class, and we had 952 applications.
So can I have a show of hand, any park ranger who's here going to be at Miles Square Park? All right, I want to be talking to you.
Now you know they have cards on them, too.
I'll give you hints.
Yeah. Eric used to
Miles Square was my near and dear to my heart. It was my park for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. That's
followed in this gentleman's footsteps.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations, everybody. I mean, the amount of training you're going through for this, every time I hear a new presentation, I learn a little something new each time about how much work you're having to put into this. Last time, it was the mental health component that seemed to be rather new and through the Sheriff's and Mental Health Bureau and working with them. It's an impressive pool of candidates for a pool of really impressive people. And now, congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, you should congratulate yourself. At 500, you made it, Tom.
Yeah, the biggest difference I see between Academy 9 and Academy 10 is how many people in Academy 9 worked in desk jobs that were just absolutely screaming to get out of the office. So.
That's very astute, yes.
Yeah. So
you found, I think they were all born outside.
Yeah. I think these people were just all standing outside in the park at this rate. So, but no, good, great job. Any other members?
Yeah. Thank you.
So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Can I have a motion to receive and file the item?
I'll move. A second.
Okay, motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. What if we said no to that? Do they just...
All right, we'll bring it again.
Before we do start,
yes.
That does bring up a good question.
Yeah.
Does the next class bring you up to make you whole?
Here's the issue, is that we do not make them stay forever, no matter what. And they promote, which we love, but then it creates another vacancy. And so that's
retirement.
We do sometimes have what is called the boomerang effect, which is they leave and realize how great it was here, and then they come back. We've had a couple of our park rangers do that in the last couple of years, which is a real testament to how great the environment is here and the training that they receive and the leadership from people like Eric. It really is a fantastic place to work. Plus, you all have been in our parks. They're beautiful. And so we're very fortunate to be able to have that. So unfortunately, though, yes, there's always vacancy somewhere in OC Parks and throughout the county. But our vacancy rate is getting smaller and smaller. It's really nice.
Which is good. It's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem, yeah.
If I remember the Academy 9, I think we took a big group photo, too.
We can do that again, too, after the meeting, if you like.
Okay.
You guys are all sitting, right? Right?
Oh, I could drag on this meeting a little longer. Well, now you have to stay for the budget presentation, so I apologize.
They get you. All right.
Good evening, Vice Chair Warren and Commissioners. So today I'm Eileen Tu. I'm the budget analyst for OC Parks. And today we're going to go over our overview for our fiscal year 25-26 proposed budget. So OC Parks has seven funds, and we're going to start off with Fund 405. So Fund 405 is the operations fund for OC Parks, and major expenses include salaries and employee benefits, services and supplies, and transfers out to support other OC Parks funds. Compared to the fiscal year 24-25 budget, salaries and employee benefits are increasing by $3 million due to regularly scheduled increases in salaries, and services and supplies are increasing by $8.3 million, largely due to increases in professional services and building and facility maintenance. In fiscal year 25-26, we are increasing our operating reserves by $20.7 million. This will bring our total operating reserves to $43 million, which equates to 3 months of operating expense. For revenue, we have $130 million of Fund 405 out of the total revenue of $158 million coming from property taxes. Other sources of revenue include rents and concessions, park and rec fees, and interest income. Our next fund, 406, is for our capital projects. The County Capital Improvement Program is approved by the board annually in May, and the CIP budget is approved in June. And this is posted online on the OC Public Works website. Major projects for fiscal year 25-26 include Miles Square Expansion Phase 2, which is an ongoing project, Miles Square Maintenance Building Remodel, and the Ted Craig Park Regional Shelter Replacement. Some of OC Parks' capital projects have received grant funding. One example is the Ted Craig Regional Park Bike Facility, which is funded by the California Department of Parks and Recreation. This would be the first dedicated mountain bike facility in the OC Parks system. Revenue for Fund 406 is primarily from the transfer of Fund 405. Our next fund, 106, is for the County Tidelands of Newport Bay. Major expenses in this fund include $3.3 million for Harbor Patrol, and 40% of the harbor, Newport Harbor is tidelands. Revenue for this fund is primarily from leases. $4.4 million of the total $7.4 million is coming from the lease with Newport Dunes. Our next fund, 108, is for Dana Point Harbor. Major expenses in this fund include $8.3 million for Harbor Patrol and $11.8 million for capital projects. For fiscal year 25-26, we have major projects with OC Sailing and Event Center dock replacement. Funding is coming from the California Department of Fish and Boating Access, and the maintenance and Dana Point Harbor Bluff Rockfall Mitigation, which funding is coming from Cal OES Hazard Mitigation Grant. Both of these projects will be partially funded with the grant funding. So revenue for this fund is primarily from leases. $3.2 million of the total $5 million is coming from the Dana Point Harbor Partners. The revenue, yeah, $3.2 million of the total $5 million is coming from Dana Point Harbor Partners. And now we're gonna go to our minor fens. So FEN 459 is for North Tustin Landscape and Lighting Assessment District. Expenses for FEN 459 is primarily for the construction of Crawford Canyon Park, which will be open to the public in the fall of 2025. Revenue for FEN 459 is primarily from property taxes. FEN 477, which is for East Yorba Linda, supports the operations and maintenance of Woodgate Park. Revenue for this fund is primarily from property taxes.
Is that the cemetery?
It's right next to the Yorba Cemetery.
Yep.
You're right, right?
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, it's all part of the same thing.
Yep.
Then 15K is Limestone Regional Park, so a mitigation endowment fund, and there's no activity in this fund except for interest earned. So here you have our baseline budget assumptions, and this is the information we use to develop the proposed budget. Factors include maintaining existing service levels, looking at historical trends, the current fiscal year projections, CEO budget rates, which are the rates charged to parks by other county departments for their services. There's also included a vacancy rate of 8.91% and a property tax growth of 4%. So this is our position history. Since fiscal year 22-23, positions have remained stable at 354 budgeted positions. And now Pam will discuss challenges and highlights.
Thank you, Mylin. And this has been exciting, I just want you to know that. So thank you so much. I'm like, wait, I don't want to keep talking about the positions. All right, so we do have some challenges, and the big one is just trying to maintain the service levels, and unfortunately it keeps costing more money to be able to maintain what we currently have. Increased costs for everything. Natural disasters, we've seen that with fires, flooding, winds, things like that. So unfortunately we cannot control Mother Nature, but we do things to be able to mitigate against it. And then at the beginning of the meeting, or before the meeting started, John was talking about a money tree, I think that Stanton has. Unfortunately, the OC Parks does not have that. And so we have to make sure we stay within our means. And so that's things like making sure we also have money for a rainy day. So you heard Mylin talk about it at the very beginning, where we are now replenishing our rainy day fund, making sure that we have enough money in the reserves to be able to fund OC Parks operations for 3 months. We feel like that's really important to do. We had used some of that money for some capital improvement projects and other things, and so we want to make sure, let's put that back in. And we were able to do that this year, which is really nice. Oh, what a great good-looking group of people. Those are in the top left. Who put that in there? So one of our big highlights, and this was very exciting, the graduation of our Academy 10. Bottom left here is the completion of Harriet Weider Park. This is a beautiful park. So this is in Huntington Beach. We've talked about this before, but I think that's a really big one because it's an accessible playground, and this playground was sorely needed to be replaced. And then on the top right, that's the completion of the Nagel Shores Revetment Restoration Project. That one took quite a long time to be able to get through the process, so it was really exciting that we actually finished it.
Amber, we have a release on that.
A release? Like a press release?
From the HOA? No. A legal release.
I
just want to make sure it's done.
I think so, but I'll find out.
Okay. I just want to add, I had a chance to visit the park. That is a beautiful playground.
Yeah.
But what surprised me is it's a demonstration site, too.
It is. It is. Good catch. That means you were reading your sign. Thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate that. Some other highlights for what we're going to be doing. Crawford Canyon Park, so that's the parcel up on the top left. It is very exciting. So this is a park that is for the community there that we received some money from the developer. And we are really doing some really great things, and that is going to actually happen this next fiscal year, and we're going to finish it. So stay tuned on that one. So this is really exciting. Top right, we have the Dana Point Harbor OC Sailing and Event Center dock replacement. This was mentioned by Mylin as part of our CIP projects for the harbor. And what was fun about this is that we knew that they didn't look good and that we needed to repair them, but once the Dana Point Harbor partners started replacing theirs with brand new docks, it made ours look even worse and shamed us, but we were able to get grant money to be able to pay for a large portion of it, which is really exciting. And then in the bottom left, I mentioned this a little bit, which is the Ted Craig Regional Park bike facility, which only took us 10 years to get approval from Army Corps of Engineers, and we're actually moving forward with this. This is very exciting.
Is that the first one?
This is the first one in Orange County.
First bike park.
Bike park facility. And this will be a really good training ground for people who either want to learn how to mountain bike in a safer environment, or someone who wants to up their skills. So it's a really great opportunity to be able to do either one of those things.
Because the Costa Mesa Park has a bike park in it, but it's not part of the park, right?
So you're talking about Sheep Hills?
Yeah, Sheep Hills.
So Sheep Hills is within Talbert Park.
Yeah.
And that was established before our habitat preservation. So it was actually grandfathered in as part of that. And it's not, it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that, you anticipate breaking ground this fiscal year?
Yes.
On the project this fiscal year?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I hope so. We'll keep you posted on that.
Good. Thank you.
Since the supervisor's office is here, can we go through the rest of the stuff that we're doing in the harbor, just so there's full disclosure on beyond the docks and the glove face? Reinforcements, the other stuff, the shade structures.
I think that's a great point. So we are replacing the shade structures down in the harbor. We have some pretty old shade structures that I think our maintenance team has done a really good job of keeping them. We also are doing, Mike, we just went over this.
Yeah, we're also redoing the boathouse roof and skylight project, so yeah. We're putting
and the money set aside for the review of the Sarah Center itself.
Yeah, exactly. And then in addition, we have $400,000 set aside for a long-term planning effort for a total revitalization of the county-owned portion of the harbor, so which includes like the conforming and non-conforming options, public visioning, all that. We're going to launch that this July.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff that's happening in the harbor and throughout the park system.
Thank you.
And then the other thing that we wanted to point out is here is that you can download the entire budget for the county on the CEO's page. And if you just Google it, or I shouldn't say Google, if you just go to the search on our county website and you put budget, it'll actually help you get to this. And that's all we have, so thank you, and we're happy to answer any questions that you might have on any of these items.
It was a great, great picture of the group. Thank you.
I guess my question is going to be, noticing your staffing levels, that it rose in the past couple years, but it's leveled off. Mm-hmm. Is any of that retaining people after ARPA funding?
No. Okay. No, so the ARPA funding didn't affect any of our staffing levels. We used ARPA funding for a couple smaller projects within our system, but we did not use it for any operational money.
Okay. And then I was curious regarding property taxes, what share of property taxes do you get?
So what she was talking about, and I'm going to go back to that page. So here, these are specific property taxes that are assessments to be able to fund those first two, 459 and 477. The other part of our money here in 405 is, you see that we have this larger numbers here for the revenue.
The revenue?
Yeah, so that is property tax from your county tax assessment, which is countywide, and we get a small portion of that, and that is where the revenues are. That's a good portion.
So a small portion of property taxes, 150-something.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's a small portion.
That's a small portion. Wow. I don't know where the rest of the money goes. I only care about where the rest of the money goes.
Yeah, Kelly, if you actually look on your property bill,
it'll show where it all goes.
You'll see CSA 26 possibly on there, and that funds, that's probably like 1% approximately.
It's less. It's like 1% of 1%.
Yeah.
It's not 1%.
There you go.
It's 1% and 1%. Yeah. It's like somewhere around there, but it's not exact.
And that the use means?
Oh, that's really good. Fund,
balance.
Fund balance unfunded. And the way that I would look at it is, so you know how you have money in your checking account? So, you know how some people have money in their checking account?
Yeah.
So let's say that you have $1,000 in your checking account.
Okay.
And you only spend $800. So how much money is left?
200.
Good job. So that $200 would be FBU. Yeah. And then let's say that you have another $1,000 in your savings account. Then that would be reserves. So we can't just take the money from reserves and put it into our FBU. So we can't just move that. So that takes board action to do that, or during the budget process.
I have a question.
That's the way I understand it better than the technical terms.
I have a question about staffing levels. You guys have been consistent now for 4 years, and I would assume that you're pretty short staffed. So do you have a plan to start to ramp up staffing in the next several years? Is that something that you guys need?
We actually added some staff when we did the Miles Square expansion to be able to manage the extra space. The other portion of the increased staffing for that same year is we actually moved people from full-time to part-time, so it added positions. So that's sometimes just a cleanup. But we have not requested any additional staff at this time. So we utilize not only our staffing but contracts for specialized services. And we're consistently researching, should we not, in different areas. So I wouldn't say that we're understaffed.
So you feel confident that you've got the staff you need to get through at least
that? I think for what we do currently, now that could always change if our mission changed and we were asked to do more for the staffing, then that would be something where we would have to then go look at it. But we want to make sure that we have enough money to pay for everybody and be able to still do the other thing. So we really are cognizant of what can we do versus what can't we do. And if we're asked to do something else, it might be, okay, then what can't we do then? And so it's really balancing that all the time. So I think we're actually better off than a lot of other parks departments as far as our staffing levels.
Great, that's good to know.
Actual fiscal year 23-24, total expenditures, $127 million and change. What was the goal? Did you come in under or was it over?
It was under, right?
Under.
Yeah.
Under the budget.
By a good amount? By a little bit?
Yeah, because...
yes, good amount, or yes, little bit, or...
A good amount, because Fund 405 also supports other funds. Like, for example, Fund 406, if there's reduced support for deferred capital projects, so that reduces Fund 405's expenses.
So it's more deferred capital projects
that part of it, majority of it, yes.
Because payroll wouldn't have come in under.
No.
Well, actually, it sometimes does, and it's not because we don't pay our people. But it's really about vacancies.
So did payroll come in under?
We'd have to look at that one. But it actually sometimes does. One of the things that you talked about was the assumptions. And the assumptions for this next fiscal year is a little over 8%. We're getting pretty close to that number right now.
But you came in under.
Correct. But we could actually
the budget of 23-24.
So if we have a 15% vacancy rate, then we obviously are going to go under. But let's say that we get to like a 4% vacancy rate, we're probably going to go over there on that line item. But we are able then to go, okay, so we've gone over the line item of salaries and employee benefits, but maybe we need to spend a little bit less on services and supplies to make up that amount of money. So we really are able to do a little bit of this within some of this, but some of the other...
Is that a monthly meeting you folks have?
No,
is it a quarterly thing?
No, this is...
Something, or is it, oh my gosh, there's an emergency or something?
I love that you ask these questions. So we have a business office team. So my Lynn and our business services manager, Jamie Wu, who's at the end right there.
And Jamie.
Both of their teams work on this all the time. So they're seeing some trends. So they say, hey, we're starting to notice something where it's starting, we're starting to spend a little bit too much here. Let's really assess this. So it's constant.
Yeah.
It is constant.
So it's constant. Okay, good.
Yeah, so we're not a program that's going to be coming like in June and go, oh, we're out of money, we can't spend anymore. We're not like that. We are really looking at this. And a lot of times we'll come in under budget and have more money in FBU because we really looked at this and said, okay, we budgeted $100,000 for this project. Is there a different way for us to do this? Oh, great, let's spend less. And then we spend $50,000, let's say. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of that constantly. And then sometimes, unfortunately, the opposite happens. We budgeted $50,000, now it's $100,000. So we don't like that, but it happens, and that's the real world of what we do, especially when you're dealing with numbers like this.
Okay. Pam, can you turn to slide number 9 or 8, I think? On the right hand side on the bottom, mm-hmm. Are those the park ranger?
So those are our maintenance staff.
I was going to say, if there's a problem, I'm going to call them the A team.
We call our maintenance workers the A team. This is our B team. I'm just kidding. So we have this really great program actually with our maintenance team, and we actually have schools, and so they're one day full trainings and. We do concrete, electrical, plumbing, just like all these very specific trainings so that for the smaller projects that our team can go in, let's say that there was a crack here and it was just that area, they can come in and they can replace it. Now, if it's something that's larger, let's say like we have in Mason Park, we're replacing an entire walkway, then that brings in engineering and a lot of other things. That's a CAP project.
Put it out to bid.
Correct. So that becomes a public works project. But when it's something small like this, our team can go in there, fix it. Okay. And that's a cost savings measure.
Yes.
But
absolutely.
Also a safety
absolutely.
Measure. So it's a really.
A window from the city. How much it costs as well.
It's expensive. And concrete's expensive, but the specialty work. So.
Thank you.
We're great people.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm proud.
Thank you guys. If there's any common theme I've been hearing outside of this room is how many cities right now are concerned about funding and financing in the future. But you know, it looks like you guys have done a great job of making what you have.
We've really worked hard and really changed the way we look at everything. To look at it not just for, okay, what can we spend today? It's really, what should we be fixing today? What can we wait? And is it gonna cost us more money if we wait? Yeah. And we really are looking at all of those things consistently. So we're about to start our strategic financial planning. We've just finished our budget, and now we're already going to be talking about what are we doing for the next 5 years. And so we're constantly looking at this because, again, we don't have the money tree, so we have to make sure we live within our means.
I'd like to borrow it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
When I first became a commissioner on here, I remember asking about the beaches, and now you're looking to no longer do beaches. Well,
we still are doing beaches.
Well, not
beaches.
As many.
We have less beaches than we had before. Yeah. Working with the City of Laguna Beach, they wanted to have local control, so that is something that we did transfer those beaches to the city. But the ones that we have, we're not planning on doing anything else with.
Okay.
We're planning on keeping them.
Okay.
You can have ours back. Especially as we get into July, summer.
Such a kind offer. Thank you so much.
Do any of the cities want to have the harbors?
I don't.
Well, that's a no. Okay. Any other questions on the budget?
Great presentation.
Okay. Can I get a motion? On this item.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item passes. Now moving on to 6, Park Director Report.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of really fun things. So I wanted to talk about something that all of them are inspirations for, which is our new OC Parks Junior Ranger program. So we launched it officially on Saturday. We launched it at our spring into summer event at the Old Orange County Courthouse. And we had a tiny little pilot project to get some of the kinks out. And there was this little boy there who had his, like, he had a jersey on, and he had all of these different pins from doing so many of the programs, and he was so excited to come. And we're going to see that a lot. So this is a really great program. If you go to the ocparks.com website and you type in Junior Park Ranger, it will take you to the page, and I suggest you do it. And anybody that you know, we suggest it for the younger kids, but it can be molded to different people, but I think you should check it out. We're really excited about it. And then we also have this short video that I wanted to show.
Okay.
One of the parks you love in a whole new way is the park near you, because OC Park is newest Junior Ranger. OC Park is excited to introduce a new Junior Ranger program. OC Park is a community park in historic sites throughout North Town. Complete activities to earn unique Junior Ranger badges for each park and additional rewards for participating at multiple locations. To get started, visit a participating OC Park facility. For a list of locations, visit the OC Park website. Pick up an activity booklet from a park office or nature center. Complete at least one anywhere activity and the park activity pages for the site you're visiting. Once you're done, show your booklet to park staff and they will sign off on your activities, administer the Junior Ranger Oath, and present you with a park badge. Visit all five locations in your regional booklet to receive an OC Park Junior Ranger badge. Collect all 20 badges to receive an OC Park Junior Ranger backpack. The OC Park Junior Ranger program encourages visitors to explore the outdoors. Activities are observational and can be done in your own pace or during a guided program. Each visit is a new experience. While earning your badges, you can observe the vibrant colors of Concha of the Oaks Regional Park. Explore the nature area at Miles Square Regional Park. Learn about the wetlands at Upper Newport Bay Nature Preserve. Dive into history at the old Orange County Courthouse. Discover ancient life at Clark Regional Park. And so much more. Embark on your next adventure with OC Park's Junior Ranger Program.
Awesome. She said it way better than I just did. And then the next update that I have, please cue a photo. Right? This is our aww moment. How cute is he? So we have a new Channel Island fox, and his name is Teeny. So he was put on exhibit last month. And he was born in the wild, but he had some health issues, and so it was deemed that he needed to remain under human care so that he could thrive. And so contacts from the Channel Islands reached out to the OC Zoo, and we said, yes, we would love to have this adorable little island fox. So we're going to be able to help him and be able to help him thrive, and we hope you'll go visit him. Like, how cute is he? I just wanted to show you a cute
picture.
Is he
by himself all the time?
We actually have a lot of different enrichment for all of our animals, so we can't place him with another animal right now. So he's really just there to just be able to interact, and there's a lot of animals in the area, so he's able to talk to them and chitter and things like that, but he's so tiny we wouldn't put him with any other animals because they might bite. We don't want them to do that.
He's too cute for that.
He's so cute. So go see him, along with our other animals at the zoo. And that's all I have tonight.
So can we start a junior academy?
A junior zoo academy or a junior zoo commission?
What's the age cap on that, if there is one?
So it's just recommended ages, but... You know,
are you looking to
participate? I think seven.
I hope so.
It's seven. So the recommended ages is 7 to 12. But I know of a 3-year-old that has started it, and I know there were some. I think that was 14. So it's really.
So no one's 60. Hey, don't knock 60.
But maybe you could help someone else. That would be my suggestion.
I don't know. I think we're all gunning for that backpack.
It's so cute, isn't it? And the vest, those little badges.
That's what I'm looking for. The vest.
Oh, you want the vest? Yeah. Yeah. Can we get him a junior commissioner badge?
He is a full-fledged
commissioner. Okay. All right. And this time, without any other questions, move on to commissioner comments and start at the end.
No, we're good. It's been a long day. Started in LA.
My other comment, I think, is a request, which is that I'm interested in hearing from staff about all the public comments we got on Robinson Branch. So I would request that we get a staff report at a future meeting.
Ditto for me. I had no idea that the wheels fell off the truck somewhere there, right?
I wouldn't say that.
A lot of people showed up a little worried.
And it's something that we can talk, it's not on agenda, so we can't really talk about it, but it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, I think starting with the staff report would be really helpful.
I'll echo those comments too, and then like also, I know we mentioned this earlier before meeting, but just wanted to provide it during the public commissioner comments as well, just in preparation for the month of August. I've been seeing and noticing that we've been having a lot more events at the county courthouse, which is amazing. Make use of it, that's awesome. The supervisor in District 2 is very happy that we're actually making use of it as well. And folks love that last event that we had just recently for spring, summer. So any more of those would be really great. Santa Ana is getting ready for Chicano Heritage Month. So we typically have a festival every August. And so I guess the ask would be if we could coincide with that and having, I guess, some sort of booth at the actual festival. I believe it's being held at Miles Square Park. We want to reach out to the Santa Ana Park staff to see how that looks like. And then also in regards to the supervisor in District 2 is also most likely already in the works working on a proclamation as every year that he has signed commemorating the month of August as Chicano Heritage Month. And another ask that I have is because one of the facilities that County Parks owns is Majesca Ranch, right? Francisco Torres used to work at the ranch, and so Francisco Torres was notoriously the last gentleman lynched in California history. He was a Mexican farm laborer. And so I want to see how we can recognize Mr. Torres during Chicano Heritage Month. So whether that be at the courthouse, whether that be here at the ranch, where have you, that'd be really great. It's something that, a special item that myself and the supervisor would want to look further into. So those are just my comments. Thank you.
I really will support that.
Thank you, yes.
Well, first of all, on my side, I apologize coming late. I had like three events, as you know which one it was. So it's like a little bit of traffic heading over here, so I apologize for a little bit behind schedule. But I want to make a little comment in reference to James McKenna. I really appreciate every time when there's a meeting, he always texts, I think all of us the day before, hey, just confirming, is everybody's coming? I just want to make sure that he should never feel uncomfortable. Oh my God, I got to text him, remind him. No, we really appreciate those texts because we get so many things going on and something. Oh my gosh, he didn't text me, I would have totally forgot about it. So really appreciate those texts, James, so keep it coming.
Thank you.
And last, I would like to see, like for example, Fountain Valley has a summer fest every year at the Miles Square Park. I'd like to see more of the Park Ranger to partake in our summer fest. It's a 3 days event. For example, this year it's coming up June, make sure I got the date correct. Yes, June 19th to the 21st. Just be, if you talk about Park Junior Ranger, right? Come out there and just, talk with the kids. There's a lot of kids. They're on the right. You walk around with Park Rangers, they're like, hey, what's that? Who knows? You may carry on in conversations, And there's a lot of residents that don't know that part of the Miles Square Park belongs to the county. Mm-hmm. They just think it's found by us. No, it's not. Yeah. We have a small portion of the rest of the county. So educate the public and be out there and interact with the community. I think it would be a great idea if you can. Of course, you got to ask your boss, hey, do we have enough time? Can you schedule some hours of us over there? Other than that, thank you. And once again, congratulations, and you should feel proud of yourself. One year of training, wow. That's quite a bit. So congratulations to you all.
Thank you. I'll echo prior sentiments, and I'll say, you know, there can only ever be one Academy 10, and you're it. So, so congratulations to everyone. I'll actually echo that saying, Boogie was saying that when it comes to Fountain Valley and the Mount Square Park, both of them are doing expansions and, you know, and projecting them. And so I think there's a good element there of public education about what the county's doing, what the city's doing, because that's really exciting, having two back-to-back expansions. So good job on that. But otherwise, happy to hear that we're going to take a look at the concerns that came up from the residents. I'll be ditto number 4 or 5 on that. But other than that, look forward to a group photo and have a good night, everybody.
All right.